This morning, I want to jump right into some things that I don't know how far I'm going to get or how it's going to come out, but I just trust you're going to be drawing on me and what God wants to come through me this morning. Thanks, guys. Weren't they awesome? Hey, great job. Thank you so much. Yeah, this morning, I want to talk about, well, let me just back up for a moment and just kind of by way of announcement say something. I discovered recently that I have a heart condition. Now, as you stop gasping and hold on with your emergency prayers, because so do you. We all have a heart condition. We all have an environment, a certain environment that is currently present within our innermost being, our hearts. In fact, the title of my message this morning is called Guard Your Heart. I want to talk about our hearts this morning. You know, this just kind of really just rose up in my heart as I was preparing this morning, even just a few minutes ago, and I feel like it needs to be said that God is saying this to us today. And it's simply this, that more than your needs and your present circumstances and maybe even the pain you're feeling in some aspect or part of your life, God is more interested in your heart and what's going on the inside of you. See, just like the saying in that song we just heard, life is for living. Well, life is lived from the inside out. Life is inside of you. It's the joy and the peace and the contentment and the fullness and the meaning and all that God wants you to just revel and enjoy each and every day and experience on a higher degree every day happens from the inside out. Our God's an inside out God. We know that. And very often, that's why the enemy targets our hearts and why life just seems to weigh us down at times, because it has the effect, the life, or this life and the things that we're challenged with, and the enemy seem to target our hearts and clog up our innermost being. In fact, your heart is much like a fountain, a flowing river or a fountain. And if the enemy of your soul, if life itself can clog up the fountain within you, then it can hinder or it can shade or obscure or dull or degrade your quality of life. And the more I journey and walk with Jesus, the more I have learned that my task, my responsibility is to make sure the fountain on the inside of me, Jesus said that out of your belly, your heart would flow rivers of living water, rivers of life, rivers of joy, rivers of boldness, rivers of freedom, rivers of dreams that God wants to come to pass, river, all kinds of rivers of good things that God intends for you and has planned for you. But if you're not cautious, if you leave your heart to chance, if you don't pay attention to it, then you'll wake up, you know, in a very short amount of time realizing, oh my gosh, my heart's all blocked up and stopped up. And where there once was a flow, it's nothing but a backwoods bog, stale and stagnant and infested with mosquitoes and pond scum. God wants our hearts to be ebbing and flowing with life. The end of the day, that's what Jesus came to do, to give us life, to give it to us abundantly, to the full, until it overflows. Life in every way, to the nth degree. Not only just for us to enjoy, but for it to flow and splash and spill over into the lives of the people around us, into this world. Without the life of God ebbing and flowing from our inwardmost being, we're not what we need to be. God wants us to be a force for life, for hope, for good things, for grace, for his love in this world, in the world that we live in and where we, you know, do our thing, you know, where we relate and connect with people. And so I want to talk about the condition of your heart this morning. That be good? And I didn't realize it, but, you know, it's Valentine's Day. It's all about the heart, right? Cupid shooting an arrow into your heart. Candy hearts, be mine, you know, or whatever. And as I thought about that, I just kind of thought about some different phrases that we have for the heart that have the word heart in them, such as a change of heart. Heard that phrase, right? Or heart of gold, or broken heart, or achy breaking heart. eat your heart out from the bottom of my heart, out of the goodness of my heart. Take to heart, young at heart, cross my heart and hope to die. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Heart, my heart is in the right place. Heart to heart, I think I repeated that one. And I heart you. To, you know, throw out a postmodern phrase. And very often, I should say the most common malady that afflicts our hearts is what is called a hard heart or a cold heart. Say hard heart. And I know that the state of our hearts here this morning, our inner life, runs the gamut, I'm sure. And I know that there's some of us that have a hard heart, or maybe just part of our heart that is impervious or cold or not what it should be. And once again, God is concerned about you, about what's going on the inside of you. And I believe that His Spirit is going to unclog and release and prune and do a work on the inside of us. Because while we so often look outward for life and for help and for answers in a book perhaps or another relationship or maybe in a bottle or maybe in another career or maybe in this or that or the other thing, God is saying, no, turn to your heart. Look inside. Life flows from the inside out. And if I can repeat myself of something I've said before, it's this. If you get your heart, your soul going in the right direction, the rest of your life will start going in the right direction. 3 John 2 says, it basically tells us if you get your soul prospering and moving in the right momentum, in the right direction, then everything else in your life will begin to follow suit and go in that direction as well. And when it comes to a hard heart is simply a heart that is impervious, a heart that for whatever reason is indifferent, maybe to the Holy Spirit, maybe to the Word of God. It's a heart that's selective in its hearing because you hear with your heart. Yes, you can hear with your ears, but God wants us to hear with our hearts, with our, you know, on the inside. That's what's important. But it's a heart that's selective where we hear only what we want to hear. Anybody ever had that kind of an attitude in your life? I only want to hear what I want to hear. And while it may feel good and, you know, we're doing our own thing, the truth is what we're not hearing, because we only hear what we want to hear, what we're not really hearing or not listening to can hurt us, can kill us. See, your heart is meant to receive and transmit. A healthy human heart both has an inflow and an outflow. But when it's hardened, when it's cold, when it's impervious to God, maybe to others, then it can't receive and it can't give. In fact, what happens is a hard heart blocks or prevents what is good from coming in. And it blocks up and stops up what is toxic from getting out, like forgiveness or regrets or a hurt or a pain that somebody inflicted on us, even though it wasn't our fault, they hurt us. And when you harden your heart, which is, a normal mechanism, it's a protective mechanism to harden your heart or put up walls, we would say, because I don't want them to hurt me anymore. But the truth is, if that hardened heart, that wall remains, it will block up and it'll stop up and it will cause negative things to putrefy and funkify on the inside of us. See, your human heart, the part of you, the muscle that beats in your chest, not only is to, pump life to the extremities and all parts of your body so that they can grow and be healthy, all those parts of your body, but it's also designed to carry away toxic waste. Carbon dioxide, whatever, you know, to carry it away. Because if it remains in your bloodstream too long, it can kill you. See, both not giving love and not receiving love is deadly to our souls and to our lives. And very often is the root cause for our low quality of life. And it all goes back to a hard heart that perhaps isn't receiving and or both not giving. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says this. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." That means encourage one another daily. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers or partners of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence or faith steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, See, the children of Israel, if they were known for anything, they were known for being stiff-necked, stubborn, only wanting to hear what they wanted to hear. They were prideful. They had a hardened heart. See, while God was able to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was not able to deliver Egypt out of the children of Israel. They continue to walk around and do life with a prideful, I've got this figured out, God, we can take care of this, you know, attitude. And it caused them to have a hardened heart. And I just don't think we realize sometimes how easy it is for our hearts to shift into a hardened state, to become cold. And that's extremely detrimental because very often what God can do in you and can do through you, can or cannot do in you or through you, has to do with the state or the condition or the environment of your heart or your inner life. Amen? As I said, a hard heart, a walled-off heart, blocks the good from coming in and keeps the toxic or bad from being exercised or going out. In 2015, I've said that it's going to be a year for us to realize all that God has prepared, all that God has in store, and how many of you know God's got some good things in store? That's why I said earlier, just go ahead and believe that God is up to something. Well, Ken, is it that simple? Yeah, it's that simple. Most often, in my experience, our choice to just simply lean into him and believe and accept that he's up to something good, for example, that his word is what it says it is, that it's true for me personally. If we'll just believe and hope and kick our doubts and our unbeliefs, you see, at the end of the day, a hardened heart is symptomatic of doubt and unbelief and a choice to continue to worry and fear instead of leaning into faith and expectation and believing. So I just encourage you this morning. It's like I've said before, but it bears repeating, one of the most important exercises you can engage in every morning is just make a decision to get your thought life moving in the right direction. Before your feet hit the floor, open your mouth and declare how it's going to be and how it's going to go today. Because one of the most effective instruments or tools God has given you, hoes, if you will, or spades, if you will, whatever reference to a garden instrument you want to refer to, that God has given you is your mouth. Because your mouth and your heart are connected. And very often you can plow or turn over the soil of a hardened heart with fresh words. You can stir up a new attitude with some fresh words. Not your words, not past words, not the world's words, not repeating CNN's words, but repeating and declaring God's words. If you'll be bold enough to declare God's word over your heart and over your life, God is just bold enough to do it. I said earlier, we saw in the verse here that we partner with God. Yes, Jesus has done it all. We don't have to figure out a dream for our lives. God already has an amazing and beautiful, beyond what we can ask or think, dream. We don't have to make it happen. There's a lot we don't have to do, but we do need to be cognizant of the fact we're partnered with him. And that our part is what? To believe. Jesus said, this is the work of the kingdom, that you would simply believe. Just keep on expecting that God is coming through for you. Yeah, but Ken, I've been doing it for a year now. I've been doing it for a week now. Just keep keeping on. When you've done all that you know to do, to stand, continue to stand. In fact, the beautiful thing about God and his word and the spirit of God within us is that when the going gets tough and gets tougher still, the spirit of God and the grace of God will swell up in your heart if you keep believing, you'll keep expecting, you'll keep getting among people like here today who are people of faith, people of grace. The strength of God will come alongside you and make you stronger and more resolute. And everything the enemy meant for evil and for bad and for destruction in your life, it will backfire. Pow! Like a tailpipe backfiring in his face. If you'll just make a choice and a decision to not quit, to not give up, to stand your ground. See, the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the faith of God that's been deposited within you. Scripture says in Hebrews 12:3 that God has given us all a measure or a seed of God's faith, his very faith, the faith that flung the cosmos into existence and holds all things together. That kind and quality of faith was put in your heart, sown in your heart like a horticulturist plants a seed into a garden. That same faith was put in you. Supernatural faith, not worldly faith, not you know, of this age faith, but his faith. Supernatural of origin. His peace is supernatural in origin. His love is supernatural in origin. His word is supernatural in origin. So no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what comes your way this week, no matter how many times you've been disappointed, just pick yourself back up. The Bible says the righteous, even though they fall seven times, they get back up and lean into God and open their mouths and begin to declare, though I may seem and feel weak, I am strong. Let the weak say I am strong. Isn't that what David said? See, faith is supposed to be in two places for it to be operative and effective and powerful. One, in your heart, and two, in your mouth. This is the word of faith which we speak. So all that to say that, man, be encouraged this morning. Because right in the middle of a struggle, right in the middle of nothing happening yet another year, right in the middle of discouragement, right in the middle of a bad report, right in the middle of what seems like it's not changing or nothing's happening, you can grow strong. In fact, that's what God intends to happen. He wants to leverage all that the enemy means for evil and for hurt and for harm. He will leverage it if you'll just stay partnered and linked up with him. How? With your words. How? By keeping yourself in a community such as this, where the presence of God, where the word of God is preached, where there are good relationships, where you're partnered with others, and you have a dream team around you of good people telling you, don't stop, keep going. Don't give up, keep believing. God is coming through for us. We are going to realize all that he has for us. And what's going to make that possible, a significant component or ingredient that's going to make that all possible this year for us just to step into and realize what God has for us, for you to step into and realize a whole nother level of his goodness and grace, is the condition of your heart, is the state of your soul, is the environment that is within you. Can I get an amen? I don't mean to be a old-time Pentecostal preacher or anything here, but sometimes it's just good to get an amen. So everything God does is from the inside out. He's an inside-out God. And that's why Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. It says, keep. This would be a really good verse to put on your refrigerator or to write with lipstick on the bathroom mirror or whatever. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. One translation says, for out of your heart, your life is determined. Isn't that good? Above all that you guard, above everything else, above your setting your DVR, above paying your mortgage, although that would be important, above so many things, guard your heart. Because what goes on in here will end up out here. I was thinking about how the muscle beating in your chest, your physical heart, if it's pumping good quality, oxygenated, nutrient-laden blood throughout the body, life happens. Healing occurs. Strength comes to every part of your being, including your brain. But if your heart is pumping toxic-infused blood, then death starts happening. In other words, what's being pumped from the heart is critical and all important. With that said, let me ask you this morning, what's being pumped from your heart right now, this week? What's being pumped from your heart out into your life, into your relationships? What's being pumped, boom, 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 into your mind? What's being pumped into the marketplace where you work? What's being pumped into your finances? What's being pumped into the spiritual atmosphere around you? Life or death? Scripture says, once again, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who choose to speak words of life or choose to speak words of death will eat the harvest or the result of the words spoken. Because those words so directly feed directly into your heart. The highest and the most important way we partner with God is with our hearts. If your heart is pumping unforgiveness, pumping regret, pumping constant worry, pumping, oh, I just don't know, we just never can seem to get ahead with our finances, pumping last year's news, which was failure, that's what it's pumping. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. then that's what you're going to be getting. The condition of your heart is the most accurate predictor of your life and your future going forward. Don't preach me down because I'm, shout me down because I'm preaching good. So taking control of your life begins in the heart. And I believe this morning, all of us are open to the Holy Spirit, and He is putting His finger on your heart, on that which has been putrefying or toxic or you've been blocking up inside of you. And it's hindering what God wants to do. It's hindering your partnership with God. See, God has already made His mind up. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond what you can ask or think. He is for you and not against you. He wants to take care of you. He can make that dream come to pass. That's easy for Him. The hard thing for Him, what are you talking about, Ken? Something hard for God? Yeah. The hard thing for Him is to get you to believe. That's your choice. The hard thing for Him is to get you to come to His Word and just receive and hear and believe and choose to agree with it. That's all we have to do. That's what grace teaches us fundamentally. Just believe. Just accept. Don't fight like the children of Israel. God, they were fighting against God. How? With a hardened heart. It's really extraordinary what they did. Here's a generation of people who were delivered from the most powerful empire on the planet at the time, who saw some of the most amazing, tangible miracles that any human has ever seen. And yet they just continued to want to think and do things the way they wanted to think and do things. They continued to complain, therefore they remained in the wilderness, wandering for 40 years. Every one of those people that came out in that first generation died in the wilderness, and their bodies became fertilizer for cactuses. It's a little crude, but it's the truth. Not because God was mean or vindictive or wanted to teach him a lesson. Absolutely not. No, because he couldn't do anything with them. He loved them dearly. He showed him his absolute and awesome power. Yet they chose to be stubborn. They chose to doubt. They chose to just continue to do things and live and think the way they wanted to live and think. And God said, all right. And he still loved them anyway. So I just encourage you this morning, just let the Holy Spirit just put his finger on your heart. Let him do a transplant if necessary. You might feel like, gosh, Ken, I just need a whole new heart. Well, you know what? God has that in his storehouse. And he can FedEx it in a nanosecond and install it in your heart, a brand new heart. Isn't Ezekiel 11:19 says, it tells us really what Jesus came to do. It says that God essentially was prophetic, sent Jesus to the cross to live and die, that he would take out a stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of us, out of our lives, and put in its place a tender heart of flesh, tender and responsive to even the slightest movement, nuance, and touch of our God. God cares about your heart, guys. He loves you. And that which has gone on in your past, maybe even abuse, God is hurt and broken. But he cares, most of all. But he needs you to bring that heart to him. Open yourself up to him, to let him put his finger on that. Maybe you need to let go of some things. Maybe you just simply need to have a little conversation, just you and God here this morning, heart to heart with him. Something about the Holy Spirit, that he's just able to put those, you know, those paddles on that doctors put on your chest to revive and you know, start your heart again. He's able to do that. And for some of us, it might not be that our heart is DOA. It might just mean that we've got an irregular rhythm to our hearts. Because something, you know, the enemy's shot an arrow into our hearts, and it's been there, and it's just been stuck. In fact, somebody shared that with me years ago when I was in my early 20s. I was in a small group, and somebody gave God just a simple prophetic word for me, and it really just broke me down and just was right on, which is that I was carrying around an arrow in my heart, causing my heart to miss a beat, and that he was going to pull that arrow out and set my rhythm right with him. I'll never forget that, because that's exactly what happened in my life at that time. And like literally overnight, suddenly I'm experiencing life on a whole nother level, experiencing joy and consistent emotions on a whole nother level, able to give love and receive love on a whole nother level. Amen? God wants to enlarge and broaden our experience of life. But it begins on the inside. So taking control of your life starts in the heart. See, you can temporarily modify a behavior or deal with some circumstances in the short run, but nothing really changes until something changes in your heart on the inside. And the Bible says over and over, don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let it be cold. Instead, cultivate a warm, fervent, sensitive, believing, responsive heart. The more you believe, the more your heart is tenderized. The more you spend in time in God's presence, like we just did here in worship, the more you hear his word, that is akin to, that's a really old word, akin, wow. That is can be likened to a steak marinating in its juices, or marinating in the best, you know, sauce and seasoning and spices you can put together. You put it in the refrigerator, you let it marinate overnight, and it softens it, right? A couple ways to tenderize meat. You can either pull out the mallet and beat that thing, you know, until it's tenderized before you put it on the grill or in the oven, or you can marinate it, and that will tenderize it. And trust me, I've had the mallet in my heart. I've done some things and reaped some consequences where it felt like there was a mallet being applied, and it did tenderize my heart and caused me to repent and learn some lessons the hard way. And that is one way to learn. But can I just say that's the least way I want to learn? The best way is just to bring your heart to God. Say, God, I believe. Lord, I just welcome your presence into my life. I believe that what your word is saying is true for me, that you are watching over your word and performing it in my life. That will soften your heart. That will fuel your heart. Romans 12:11 says this. It says, not lagging in diligence, but it says fervent in spirit or fervent in heart. Fervent is where we get the word fiery or hot, serving the Lord. Now, I wanted to bring a microwave and some popcorn, and I just could not pull it off this morning. But you guys know those microwave popcorn bags? They're kind of flat, right? They're in plastic, you know, and inside is like hardened popcorn kernels and butter or margarine or some pseudo something butter in there. And it's hard, right? And you put it in the microwave, you set it for 4 or 5 minutes. For a couple of minutes, nothing's happening, right? The little carousel's going around, your little, you know, popcorn's kind of spinning around, you're hungry and you can't smell anything, but it's there, and you know something must be happening. And the more those microwaves are going through the air, bombarding that packet of popcorn, the more the molecules inside that popcorn bag are starting to heat up and speed up. And after about 2 minutes or so, you hear pop, 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 right? Pop, 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 pop. And before you know it, the whole bag is exploded, right? With this amazing aroma and these lightly fluffed, beautiful kernels of popcorn. You're hungry, aren't you? I am. Ah, I can smell it now. I have a friend who's got a church out in D.C. that they're one of their sayings is they're the church that smells like popcorn because they meet in movie theaters. So one of their guest cards has a picture of popcorn. They actually hand out bags of popcorn to guests and visitors first time they come. My point is that when you marinate in God's presence, when you bring your heart to God, when you get in worship, when you just say, Lord, I believe your word, and when you hear that word and speak that word over your life, it is like microwaves bombarding your heart, and it begins to thaw out those cold and soften those hard places. And where there was nothing happening, because I know we've all gone through seasons where nothing is happening, nothing is changing, right? We don't seem to be making progress. It seems like, you know, that movie Groundhog's Day. Is that what it is? Bill Murray, or the day is just repeated every single day, the same day over and over. It's like, oh my gosh, somebody put me out of my misery. You know, sometimes life can feel like that. And we can get discouraged and despondent and frustrated and want to even give up. Yes, even as Christians. But in moments like that, we just let God breathe fresh hope into us. And we just go to him. And we do just what I'm saying here this morning. Let him microwave your heart supernaturally, though. And let him begin to heat up, because the condition or environment of your inner life will determine what God can do in your outer life. And where there was previously nothing and it was quiet and silence and nothing's happening and nothing is changing, suddenly you wake up one day and pop, right in front of you. You receive a blessing. The next day, pop, pop, whoa. Somebody happens here and it totally is a breakthrough for you. Pop, pop, you get a promotion at work. Pop, pop. You have an opportunity to share your faith with somebody and see their life changed. Pop, 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 pop. And the next thing you know, exceeding abundantly above and beyond what you could ask or think is happening right before your eyes. And all you can do is, thank you, Father. It's just, have you ever had those moments? I've had those moments. Even recently, like, my heart just got just like tickled, like excited, like, wow. And trust me, those moments will happen especially when times are tough, especially when nothing has changed, especially when something seems like it's progressively broken or whatever. Because when you are weak, he is strong. He is able to show up and show off. God is the poster child for a show off. He loves to show off. Well, Ken, that's got to be heretical, isn't it? No. Ephesians says that in the ages to come, now and in the ages to come, God is going to show off his glory and show us off as a trophy of his grace and love. He delights to show off in our lives. This is good preaching, you guys. You know that? Come on now. I'm going to encourage myself over here. This is good preaching, Ken. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know it. I'm getting blessed. I'm getting really happy. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. He loves to show off. I'm not hyping you this morning. I'm not. If you haven't realized it, I'm not kind of the hypey type, really. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not hypey, I don't think. I don't know. I'm just from the gut here this morning. And from my own experience and my own journey. Yeah, there are tough times that you have to journey through sometimes. And there is a stand and a fight to faith. But the fight isn't to make it happen. The fight isn't to figure it all out. God has already figured it out. The fight is to remember that he has figured it out. God has already a plan and knows the way forward. The fight is to believe and to keep reminding yourself and bombarding your neural pathways with the remembrance that God is good and does only good, as the Bible says. Now, there are times we have to go through some things. In my experience, most of the time, it's my own doing, my own fault. But his grace is there to lift me up and help me walk through it and gain some valuable lessons as I go. And more importantly, pass the test of faith. The trial of your faith, the testing of your faith is more precious than the finest gold the world has to offer. See, this whole deal with our life is not just about this lifetime. This is, as I like to say, just a thin veneer of the greater existence and the greater eternal scheme of things. This is kindergarten. This is us learning how to believe, how to trust God, how to hear God, how to follow God, how to live and breathe and have our being according to his truth. Because there's a lot more yet to come. A lot more yet to come in the ages to come. Glory to God. Praise God. So much more to come in this life and in the life to come. I don't know where I was at. Matthew 12, I'm almost done, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says this. A good person produces good things from the treasury. That just simply means what fills the heart. The treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of what fills an evil heart. In other words, garbage in, garbage out. No mystery there. If you leave your heart to chance, if you open up to things that you shouldn't open it up to, as we'll probably talk about next week, if you don't put boundaries in place, relationally, spiritually, practically, in your time, in your emotions, then your heart will be a dumping ground by the enemy, by other people, by even yourself. Because when you're ignorant of some of these things, you just say things that are just, they're wrong. You'll speak doubt, you speak unbelief, you'll speak what you don't want rather than what you do want, and you confuse your heart, Scripture says. The Bible says in Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say unto this hopeless situation, say unto this lack or need I have in my life, say unto my future, say unto my child who's doing drugs, say unto this past abuse, whosoever shall say. In other words, we've got to open our mouth. We've got to exercise our will and open our mouths. When you go to the gas station, I was there last night, you have to open the mouth of the gas tank for it to be filled. And when it comes to your heart, to be filled with good things, you've got to open your mouth with God's word. Open your mouth to Him in worship. Open your mouth with His truth. Opening your mouth opens you up for Him to fill you up and soften your heart and increase your faith. Scripture says in Mark 11:23, it says, whosoever, that means any one of us. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be any persuasion doctrinally. Whosoever shall say unto this impossibility, this challenge, the future, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. In other words, what's going to hinder God, progress and what God wants in your life? A hardened heart. An unbelieving heart, to not doubt in your heart, is a hard heart. But whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that those things which he or she says, it goes on to say that he will have whatever, he or she will have whatever they say. Why? Because you're sowing seeds into your heart, either weed seeds or truth seeds, either good seeds or bad seeds. One thing's for certain, your heart is analogous to a garden. It's a patch of soil. And a patch of soil just really does what? It just receives seed. Either intentionally by a horticulturist or a gardener, or unintentionally by birds doing their thing as they pass over and pooping into the garden with thistle seeds and, I can't even think of all the weeds right now, dandelions. And in a short time, that garden plot just does what it does. It receives the seed, and when the conditions are met, it produces a harvest, a good harvest or a bad harvest. That's what your heart is. It's ground to receive seed. So yours and my responsibility is to intentionally, to be responsible and intentionally plant the right kinds of seeds. And remember, when things aren't changing in the moment, that you've planted seeds, and seeds don't germinate necessarily in 24 hours. They may take a little time. Some seeds take longer, some seeds take a shorter amount of time. But the truth is, the law in Scripture that we see is if you'll plant and you'll keep the condition of the ground, your heart right, it will automatically and organically produce a desirable harvest of God's blessing, God's plan, and the good things He wants for you. Not because you worry, not because you know somebody, not because you work extra hard, although that's not a bad thing. The Bible teaches us to be diligent. But because you simply just observed, watched over, and guarded your heart. To guard, remember Proverbs 4:23, it says to guard your heart. Above all that you guard, guard your heart. Guard means to protect, to keep close watch, to safeguard, and to tend to practice, to tend to. And one of the most practical ways we tend to our heart is to put boundaries in place. And so next week, I invite you back. I invite you to invite somebody back next week, because I'm going to probably deliver one of the most relationally oriented to your relationship with God and with others. And I believe one of the most practical and helpful messages, really to any area, that will touch every area of your life. I'm going to talk about how to put boundaries in your life. How to put boundaries around your heart, and how to establish boundaries in your life with people, with yourself, spiritually, with your time, in lots of ways. And I guarantee you it will be an answer to maybe the anger that you're having, frustration, depression, thoughts of suicide. It'll be an answer to why you seem to take one step forward and end up two steps back. It'll be an answer to passive-aggressive behavior. It'll be an answer to so many different things, spiritually, naturally, relationally, and even financially. It really will. I'm not making this up. And so I just encourage you to come back next week where we'll talk about how to put boundaries in place, because fundamentally you guard your heart first and foremost by doing just that, drawing healthy boundaries in several different ways. And we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty of that next week, next Sunday. Amen?